Amen. And what a blessing it has been to be in the Lord's house this morning. And I find ourselves routinely saying that, but not out of routine, because it really is a blessing to be here. And it's a blessing to hear the songs that we've heard this morning and to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what a great blessing. And I'm glad that you chose to be in the Lord's house this morning. And I trust the Lord has a message for us. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19. And before we read in our passage, just want to give you a little background or a little context of what's going on here in the land of Israel at this time. In chapter 18, of course, Elijah is the prophet in Israel. And you have King Ahab and Queen Jezebel are the king and queen in the land of Israel. And during that time, there were many false prophets. The Bible says there were 850 false prophets in the land of Israel. And under the direction of God, Elijah brings those 850 men onto Mount Carmel along with all of the those that lived in Israel. And he says it's time to prove that who the true God of Israel is. And the false prophets build an altar to their God. And Elijah gives them opportunity to pray to their God that he would send fire to consume the sacrifice on that altar. And of course, they did this for the better part of a day, and of course, to no success. And then Elijah said, it's my turn now. And he builds an altar. He takes 12 stones. It's all in chapter 18. He takes 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he puts the wood on the altar, and he puts the sacrifice on the altar. And then he does something special there. He takes 12 barrels of water and dumps them. It completely floods the altar. The Bible says the trenches around the altar were filled with water. And then in chapter 18, he prays to God. And immediately when he's done praying, God sends fire out of heaven. And it consumes that sacrifice. In fact, the Bible says it consumes everything that was there. The altar, the stones, it licks up the water and the dirt that was in the trenches. And at that point, Elijah has all 850 of those prophets killed. And what a blessing that would have been for the land of Israel. And that leads us to chapter 19 and to verse 1. And so if you're there, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word this morning, we're going to read verses 1 through 4, understanding the context of our passage. And the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 19, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And I want you to pay particular attention to this phrase in verse 3, because really I believe this is the key to this passage, or really the thought that we're trying to get across here this morning. The Bible says in verse 3, "And when he saw that," speaking of Elijah, "when he saw the messenger come with the message from the queen, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "When he saw that." When he saw that. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that we've had to be in your house this morning. Lord, what a great blessing it is to hear the singing that we've heard today and to participate in the congregational singing, Lord. And now to open up your word and to hear a message from you, Lord. We pray that we would not take this for granted, Lord, but that you would open our hearts and that we would open our hearts to be able to hear from you and apply from this passage what you'd have us to apply. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Obviously, Jezebel is angry. Earlier in chapter 18, the Bible tells us that she personally employed these 850 prophets. There was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves, which ate at Jezebel's table. And so, of course, she's upset because Elijah has had them killed, and she vows revenge and puts a 24-hour death notice out there for Elijah. She sends a messenger to him, says, "In the next day, you'll be dead like my prophets, the false prophets that you have slain." And it brings us to that phrase that we see there in verse 3, "when he saw that." And here's what you have in this passage. Immediately you have a shift of focus from what God has done and the victories that God has brought in the land of Israel the last 24 hours. And immediately Elijah takes his eyes off of that and he begins to focus on what Queen Jezebel says she's going to do. You have a removal of focus from God. And here's what I found as I began to study this passage. You know, it's actually quite a normal human tendency to focus on our problems rather than focusing on our God. I find that in my life. Many times it's easy to focus on that which is right in front of me, whether it's a trial or an issue that I'm facing, rather than focusing on my God. If I can say it this way, many times the devil will take things in our lives and he'll allow those to distract us from what God is trying to do. And listen, you won't find much negative on Elijah. You can look through the scriptures and there's not much there, but I believe that God records this negative because, first of all, we can relate to it, and secondly, there's something that we can learn from it. And I would say this morning, one of the great spiritual battles that we face is distraction from the devil. As we're living our lives and we're just trying to live them for God as children of God, and listen, it's natural reaction to focus on our problems. And here in our passage, Elijah temporarily loses focus on God and begins to focus on the queen and this death threat and what she is trying to do. Now let me answer this question or ask this question and try to answer it before we get much further. Let me ask you this question. Will focusing on God remove all the problems from my life? And certainly as we think about that, we understand that's not the case. Praise the Lord for a walk with God and an opportunity to fellowship with Him. But listen, God has never promised to us that we would never have problems as we live this life. But here's what you'll find. When you do focus on God, you'll have a much greater perspective for dealing with those issues. You have a much greater help for dealing with those problems. And so we understand if Elijah just simply would have stayed focused on God when he saw that, it would have helped him. When he saw the messenger, when he saw the message, he would have done well to remember what God is capable of doing. And I wrote down three things, and I want to share them with you very quickly this morning. If Elijah just would have remembered these things, it would have helped him. And listen, I find that if we'll just remember these things as we go through problems or as we go through trials in this life, it'll help us to remain focused on God. First of all, I would like to say this. Elijah should have remembered God's power. He should have remembered what God was capable of doing. I want you to think back in the last 24 hours because Elijah had seen some incredible displays of God's power. You go back to Mount Carmel and Elijah is there, and I can't imagine what it would have been like to be there standing on that mount as Elijah begins to pray and God sends the fire from heaven that consumes that sacrifice. I can't imagine what that would have been like. What an incredible sight to behold, and no doubt a display of God's power. And then right after that, listen, God allows the 850 false prophets to be killed. Those men that really had waged spiritual warfare on the land of Israel. And I'm telling you, that would have been an incredible thing to behold as well. And that would have been an amazing thing for the land of Israel. And then right after that, the Bible says, and this is all in chapter 18, that after 3 years of no rain, God opens up the heavens. The drought is over. God begins to water the earth with the rain. And listen, all three of these things would have been miracles. All physical manifestations of God's power. Here's what I'm saying this morning. Listen, Elijah didn't have to go very far back in his mind to remember who God was and what God could do. And I find that's true in my own life. Listen, if you're saved today, you don't have to go very far back to understand who God is and what He's capable of doing in your life. And as we go through these problems and as we go through these trials, may we never forget God's power. And in the midst of all of this, a message, a death threat from the queen takes his eyes off of God. And I would say this, listen, I don't think Elijah is the only one susceptible to this kind of attack by the devil. I think that all of us are susceptible. Listen, many times we're distracted by whether it's a valley or a mountain or something in our way. And many times those things seem bigger than we are. Many times those mountains, we wonder, how am I going to get around this? What can I do about this? This is certainly bigger than me. Can I remind you this morning, if you're saved today, it's not bigger than your God. It's not greater than your God. It doesn't have more power than your God has. I want you to turn over to Isaiah in chapter 40 this morning. This is a passage that I've recently been studying, and the Lord's brought my eyes across it in several different occasions. One of my favorite passages as it describes the power of our God. Isaiah chapter 40, I want to read several verses for you. I want you to follow along this morning. Look in verse 12 if you would. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Can you stop right there and think about that? The waters that are in our earth today. And God is so powerful, he could literally measure those in the hollow of his hand. The Bible says, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Look at verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Look at verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. You think about the inhabitants of our earth today, and as they stand before God, if you grouped all of them together, they are as nothing before our Almighty God. The Bible says in verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, he who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Verse 28 says this, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And then I love verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. We study Elijah there. Listen, do you think Elijah is faint at this time? You think Elijah's out of answers as he stands there before God and he sees this death threat from, by the way, a very powerful queen that if she had the ability to, could have taken him out. And yet he's standing there and I believe Elijah's faint. But the promise from God is that he has power for those that are faint. He has power for those that will look to him and those that have a relationship and that will walk with him. And I want to say this morning, we have a powerful God. We have a God that does incredible things. And yet if the devil can distract you from what God is capable of doing, he'll have won a great victory in your life. And I believe you find Elijah here in this circumstance. Instead of focusing on God's power, he's focusing on this message and this messenger that brought this message to him. I love the words of 1 John in chapter 4. In verse 4 it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want to tell you this morning that our God is greater. Our God is greater than the problems that we face. Our God is greater than the trials that we face. And we'll find that out if we'll simply just focus on him. In the midst of our difficulties and our trials. So let me ask you this question this morning. What distraction are you facing today? What problem has distracted you from what God is capable of doing? Maybe it's a mountain in your eyes. Listen, maybe it's something that you can't see any way out of. Can I remind you that our God is a powerful God? We need to remain focused on him and watch as he does a great work. I love 1 Samuel chapter 30. We don't really have time. For sake of time, we won't go there this morning. But David and his mighty men have come back to Ziklag. There in Ziklag, that's where they had chose to build their houses, and their wives and their children were there in Ziklag, and they had gone off to war, and they came back. And the Bible says that the enemy had come, the Amalekites had come and destroyed everything. They'd take their wives and their children, and they had taken them away and kidnapped them, and they had taken all their possessions and burned their houses. And as David and his mighty men come back, I love this thought, because David now, he has three enemies. Not only is King Saul his enemy there in the land of Israel, he's trying to kill him. Also, the inhabitants around the land of Israel are trying to kill him. And now the Bible tells us that his own men, they're so grieved that they spake of stoning him. You talk about problems. Listen, David has really lost everything in his life that's important to him. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the midst of what he was going through, he didn't lose focus on what God was able to do. And the Bible says that David brought thither the ephod and he put it on and he went before God and he said, "Shall I pursue them? Shall I overtake them?" Here's what David was asking God. "Listen, God, will you go with me? Will you give me your strength and will you give me your power to go after the enemy and to recover these things? Lord, I've lost everything in this life, but will you show yourself strong?" And the Bible says that God told him to pursue the enemy. You look later in the passage there in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Listen, they recovered everything. And David gave God the praise for it. He said, "It's the God who has delivered me." Listen, in a moment in which he could have become focused on all the problems that surrounded him, he remained focused on God and what God was doing, what God's capable of doing. And this morning, listen, we can either focus on our problem or we can focus on God's power. We can focus on what we see in front of us or we can focus on what God is able to do. But I'll say this, listen, our problems will distract us from seeing God's power if we'll allow them to. And may we remain focused on God. And so Elijah, first of all, needed to remember God's power. Secondly, this morning, Elijah needed to remember God's provision. How God had provided for him in the past. You know, as I look at our passage back in 1 Kings in chapter 19, and as I look at this death threat that he receives from Jezebel, I find one problem with this. The problem I find with it is that God never turned Elijah's life over to Jezebel. God never came to Jezebel and said, "Listen, you can go ahead and kill Elijah." No, in fact, the exact opposite. I see God providing for Elijah time and time again. Go back to chapter 17, if you would. Back to chapter 17 and verse 3 and 4. We spoke a minute ago of the drought that had come into the land of Israel for 3 years. The Bible says in verse 3, "Get thee hence," the Lord speaking to Elijah, "and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." That's an incredible thought. Just stop and those aren't just words on a page. God had commanded or sent ravens to be able to bring food to Elijah. He provided for him when there was no food to be found through ravens. It's an incredible thought that God is capable of providing for us in unique ways. And Elijah should have remembered back when God used ravens to provide for him. I love it because it goes on to say in verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." It came time that that brook dried up, and God sent him to Zarephath, where there was a widow woman, and God commanded there her to sustain Elijah. You see, what you have through Elijah's life is God providing for him time after time. God meeting his needs. Listen, did God not provide the fire there on Mount Carmel? Did not God not provide the rain? And yet in the midst of all that, is God not going to provide for Elijah now? Elijah's on the run for his life. Is God not going to take care of him? And I would say this morning, Elijah would have done well to remember God's provision. How God had provided for him in the past. I think of God's provision in my own life. How God's provided for me on a daily basis. I remember, listen, the day that God provided eternal life to me. I remember that day distinctly. I was a 14-year-old boy. I was sitting in church on a Sunday morning and I'd been dealing with this for quite some time and I knew I wasn't saved. I remember that day I got up and I walked to the front and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'll never forget that day. Do you remember that day in your life when God took the burden of sin away from you? God cleansed you from sin as you repented of that sin and you gave God your life. You remember how God provided eternal life? I often look at all of God's done in my life and I'm amazed. Begin to think and look back and how he's provided time after time. I remember God calling me into the ministry, and I remember being in Bible college and meeting my wife there and God providing my wife to me, and of course the four children that God has given to us, and listen, the ministry that God has provided with us, and the house that God has given to us, and listen, what I can say to you this morning is I can see God's hand through it all. And if you'll look in your life, no doubt if you're a child of God, you'll see how God has provided for you time after time. Let me ask you this question. What makes you think that this time is going to be different? That God's not going to be there for you as you focus on him and as you look to him? And yet I must confess this. Listen, in the midst of all that God's done for me, there have been times in which I've lost sight of His provision in my life. There have been times I've forgotten what He's done for me. Most of the time it's because something else has my focus. And listen, the questions begin to come in my mind. What am I going to do about this problem? How am I going to pay for this bill? How am I going to get through this? But there's a theme there. It's I. What am I going to do about this? And it's usually in the midst of that that God comes and says, you're not going to do anything about it. In your own strength. You're not going to be able to afford that or pay for that with your own resources. You're not going to be able to do any of this in your own strength and in your own power. But if you won't lose sight of what I've done before for you, if you won't lose focus on how I've provided for you in the past, and if you'll continually look to me, you'll watch as I open up a way, as I provide a way through this time of difficulty and through this storm that you're facing. What a blessing, because if I, as a child of God, I must remember that God is in complete control of my life at all times. I love studying, of course, the characters in Scripture. And we remember, of course, the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 27, Paul is on a ship and he's bound for Rome. He's with several other prisoners and this great storm kicks up and it's a storm that lasts for several days. And I love because Paul stands up in front of all the men and he says, listen, the angel of God has stood before me. And the angel of God had come to him and said, Paul, you won't die in the storm, you're going to make it to Rome, and everyone that's with you will make it to Rome. And I love it because Paul makes this statement. He says, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I love that thought this morning as you think about it. Listen, if you're a child of God today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are God's and you serve a great God. And if we'll simply remember God's provision when we find ourselves in times of difficulty, and we won't lose focus on what God is capable of, His power, and then His provision. And I love this thought. Listen, if God's done it before, He'll do it again. God will be there for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who is God for? He's for those that know Him as their personal Savior and that are looking to Him and have their focus upon Him. And so we see here in this passage, Elijah needed to remember God's power. And Elijah needed to remember God's provision. But finally, I want you to see this morning that Elijah needed to remember God's purpose for his life. I want you to think about this. God's purpose wasn't for Elijah to be killed by Jezebel. That's not what God had Elijah there to do. God's purpose certainly isn't for Elijah to be under a juniper tree praying and requesting that the Lord might take his life. That's not what God had purposed for Elijah. And I love this because a trial doesn't signal that God's finished with you yet. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to understand? When God's finished with us, we'll be the first to know. He'll take us on to heaven and praise the Lord. We'll be in heaven for all of eternity. But listen, until God tells us that, we need to keep on serving Him. We need to keep on doing what we're supposed to be doing. And listen, if He would have just remembered God's purpose. And I love this because here in our passage, it's almost like God says, hold on, Elijah. He says, we need to take some time and just spend some time together. There's about 40 days the Bible speaks of that God cares for and meets with Elijah, and He takes Elijah to a place where all Elijah can do is look to God. He's got no answers. The queen is trying to kill him. He doesn't have any answers. He's weary, he's worn, he's tired, and God puts him in a place where all he can do is look to God. You know, sometimes God will do that same thing for us. He'll remove all the answers that we have and just put us in a place where we have to look to Him. Amen. We have to focus on Him. And there in chapter 19, I love studying 1 Kings 19. I want you to see several things here. First of all, we see there in chapter 19 God's grace and mercy on Elijah. Look at verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. I see God's grace and mercy to give Elijah exactly what he had need of at that moment. Elijah needed some food and some rest. By the way, let me just tell you, sometimes those things will make all the difference in the world. It'll help change our perspective about what God is doing. Sometimes we're weary, and God gives us a time of rest. Some food there, and isn't God good to give us exactly what we have need of when we have need of it? It comes in time, on time, every time, like the song said this morning. God provides for us exactly what we have need of. And so we see God's grace and mercy. And then in verses 9 and 10, I see a communication, an intimate communion between God and Elijah. Look in verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? I believe God really wanted to know the heart of Elijah there. And he asked him this question, what doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah answered back in verse 10, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He answers back, Lord, this is what has been troubling me. And we see that communication between God and Elijah. And listen, there are some times in our lives when we just need to get before God. And listen, God already knows our hearts, but he wants to hear from us as his children. And we can speak to him and tell him exactly what's on our heart. And then we see a demonstration of God's power. I love this. Look at verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. God says, listen, Elijah, this is what I'm capable of. I believe it was a tornado or some type of a wind that would have caused a rock sliding off of that mountain. And it was so powerful that the very rocks, as they were hitting the ground, were breaking in half. And God says to Elijah, listen, this is what I'm capable of. But this is not how I'm going to choose to work in this situation. Listen, God is capable many times of just getting rid of our problems and just taking care of our enemies, but many times that's not the way he's going to work. He goes on to say, and after that, in the wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. He says, listen, Elijah, I'm capable of taking the ground beneath your feet and the plates of this earth, and I'm capable of shifting them, and so much so that the ground beneath your feet begins to crack and begins to give way. That's the kind of power I have. But that's not how I'm going to work in this situation. And after that, the Bible says, after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And look at Elijah's reaction. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. God says, listen, Elijah, I have this power, but I'm not going to work through that. This is the way I'm going to work. And I love because he goes on in verse 15. The Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mola shalt thou appoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He says, listen, your complaint is that you're the only one in Israel. Well, through my still small voice, I'm going to send you back. You're going to anoint this king in Syria. Then you're going to anoint a king in Israel. And then you're going to anoint Elisha to be the prophet. And you're personally going to have a hand and me judging those that have turned away from me in Israel. He says, listen, I have the power to remove them, but this is your complaint. I'm going to use you to go back. And we see the next assignment. And look, if you would, in verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Here's what I love about this. The Bible says that he went back. He departed thence to go back to Israel. Listen, when he came out of Israel before, his focus was on the queen. His focus on what she had said she was going to do him. When he goes back this time, his focus isn't on the queen anymore. His focus is on what God has told him to do. He's got God's power in his life. He sees God's provision. He understands God's purpose. And he goes back and God begins to use Elijah to help judge the land of Israel. You say, what's changed? What's changed in his life? What's changed from his focus being on the queen to his focus being on God? Is simply this: time spent with God. Some time alone with God. Some time to reveal God's power to him. And I believe, no doubt, God would have reminded him of his power, and certainly he did there on the mountain. I believe God would have reminded him how he had provided for him in the past, and I believe God would have reminded him, this is my purpose for you. And as we think about that this morning, as we face problems in our lives that take our focus away from God, if we'll spend some time with God in the midst of that trial, listen, it's not time to fix that on my own. It's not time for me to go to other people and figure out what answers are there. What would you do in this situation? Many times it's just time for me to stand before God and say, God, what should we do about this? And God, remind me again of what you're capable of doing. Remind me of your provision of my life. Remind me of your purpose for me. And I believe when we focus on God, we'll see all of those things. And Elijah goes back, renewed, focused on God. And when he had seen that, first of all, and just as quickly as his focus had turned away from God, certainly seems like his focus is backed on God, and he can go back and allow God to do great work. And this morning, let me ask you this question. What are you dealing with today? What is that distraction that has taken your attention away from God? What are you focusing on this morning? And may we remind ourselves to get our focus back on God. It won't take away the problem, but it'll help us to have the proper perspective. And we'll watch as God leads us through that trial, leads us through that difficulty, if we'll simply remember God's power, his provision, and his purpose for our life. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know how God may have used this message in your life, but we're going to have a time of invitation this morning. Invitation is simply a time just to respond to what God has spoken our hearts about. I'd first of all say this morning, listen, if you want the power of God in your life, first of all, you have to know God personally. You have to know him as your personal Savior, and the good news is that God extends to every person the opportunity to have a relationship with him, to call upon him. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you this morning during our time of invitation to come forward. There'll be someone up in the front that has a Bible and that can take you from God's Word and show you how you can know for sure you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. And then maybe there are Christians in this room. Maybe something, a mountain that you're dealing with. Maybe it's something that's distracted you from what God is doing. And I'd ask you this morning, listen, come to the altar. If you need someone to pray with you, someone will be here. But ask God to help you to focus on him as you go through this time. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us to be able to open up your word and to see from your word all that you're wanting to do in our lives. And Lord, as we have this hymn of invitation, as this time of invitation, Lord, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they would come forward this morning and receive you. And I pray for Christians, Lord, throughout this room that may be dealing with problems or heartaches or difficulties. Lord, I pray that you would help them and be with them and help them to focus on you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.